Letter 14.
Page 1444. In the Hebrew, second volume of Rabash. Rabash, volume 2, page 1444, letter number 14, starting in the middle. Since the essence of creation, called Adam, is the will to receive, and the Creator is the giver, and when a person returns to his origin, he is called tshuva, repentance. And how is that? Why is that called repentance? As the Rambam says, until the one who knows mysteries testifies that he will not return to his folly. And this testimony is revealed in a person only after repenting. Then he attains the pleasantness of the upper, meaning the Creator instills divinity upon him. The person repents, meaning he attains dvikut, adhesion. This is the matter of a soul of man knows, meaning if he wants to know, then he has repented already. He has the scrutiny. If he attained the pleasantness of the Creator, it's a sign that he repented. Meaning that he is in the aspect of bestowing. This is the matter of seek peace and chase it. That all the dispute is only out of the will to receive, and seek peace can only come as the will to bestow. This is the matter of the words, and Yitzchak sowed in that land, and he found 100 gates, Mea She'arim, meaning 100%. This is specifically the attribute of Yitzchak, that he received it from Avraham, as it is written. And Avraham gave Yitzchak everything he has. And Rashi explained it. He says that it is Gvura. And Rabbi Nechamia says it is Bracha, a blessing. And they both meant the same. Rabbi Yud speaks of the aspect of the work, where he showed him the place of work. That is specifically by overcoming. Rabbi Nechemia speaks of the reward, that specifically by overcoming, you are granted with a blessing. And the blessing is 100%. And by being rewarded with repentance out of love, then the entire 100% of the work is blessed, even the times of the transgressions. And everyone are merited only by overcoming called forces, and each and every force that a person elicits, they all join to one account. Meaning, even if a person overcome once, and then an alien thought comes to him, and he claims, I am already tested, I have experience, and soon I won't have this yearning to do the work. And what's my profit if I overcome now a little bit? Then he should answer that penny to penny they accumulate to a large account, meaning the general account, whether it is to the source, the root of his soul, or to the collective. Maybe that's the meaning of the gates of tears are not locked. She'arei, the gates, are from the word se'arot, storms. This is a matter of overcoming. Dma'ot, tears, is from the word medamea, meaning that there's a mixture of other desires. And only in the midst of these desires, there is a split second of a desire to overcome for love and the fear of the Creator. Not locked, meaning this moment, this split second accumulates to a great account. And when this account is filled, then a person starts feeling the spiritual clothing. This is the matter of the importance of the tears, meaning even if he's in the lowest state, meaning that he has lowly desires. And anyhow, in the middle, there is the force to overcome, that from the point of his heart, he yearns and longs for the Creator. Then this force is very important. This means, even though one is in exile, the point in his heart is under the different domains called Shechinta Begaluta, divinity in the exile. As to the individual, for a small moment he can overcome and sanctify the Creator. And even though he is certain out of his own experience that later will return to his folly, anyhow, it is very important that a person can say the truth out loud. And this is like a person standing among criminals, and they curse and swear the work of the Creator. And among them, some are speaking with a sweet tongue, and a nice language, and they show how there's no any use to work for the Creator. And anyhow, there is someone who cannot really explain that he's not really so. He can explain the essence and the about of the work, but he can say a word, maybe just one word. He can talk about the fact that what they say is not the truth. But it's a good thing not to agree to that, even though he doesn't have the brains or the force as the one who swear and curse. This is called the gates of tears. This is the meaning of penny to penny, they accumulate to a great account.
How do we, among the desires, are finding a place for fear and awe? How among the desires we find a place for fear? Well, speak.
Maybe in the state of feeling these desires, only the fact that I can't feel outside of them anything.
I don't know how to take what happened to us in this workshop today. It's unbelievable. Everything that happens in the text or anything Av is asking, it's in realization. We are imagining states that, we're describing states that are, I don't know how to explain it. It seems to me like the greatness of the state of the Creator that through you, to love, to the source, the transition of this subtle point that you don't know how to hold it, whether you want to hold it or not hold on to it. Something unique about everything that happens now is right for execution. So the whole screen and returning light. I'm just asking us not to stop, not stopping ourselves from describing those states. I feel as if this Indian shaman that was describing the Columbus boats is coming. This is what has happened. We are being described the spiritual degree. So let's step into it.
And we should constantly exert. I think that's the fear, that you'll forget about it for a moment and return to your folly. Rather, let's be in this constant effort to hold, I don't know how to call it, to tie down the donkey or to hold on to the friends. It's a constant effort. And the fear is that for one moment I'll let go, because if I let go, I'll fall. It's not only that I'll fall, everyone will fall together.
First of all, I'm very shocked by the article and very moved by it. It's hard for me to speak. These articles that are, you could have read them thousands of times, all of a sudden just settle in on your heart. And I forgot the question. We spoke of fear, right? Person is in a war within the storms, the disturbances, all these forces that want to drive him crazy and disconnect him from the connection with the Creator. Then within this war suddenly opens up a place where a person feels that he's really suspended between heaven and earth, and is really in kind of a mute inner cry. So he feels the connection suddenly from he who arranges it all, and being in fear not to lose that little connection that is with the Creator, and how much he can hold on to it and live in it, afraid of losing that connection.
Yes, there's really a feeling. I really identify myself with the words of the friends, and there is some fear to lose it, not to exploit this opportunity we're receiving, this state we're receiving, as if we were someone threw this ball of light to us. We have to play with it and to be cautious not to drop it. We all depend on the others.
Rav, what is it specifically we need to shed tears for? How do we come to it? And what specific discernment we should shed tears about? Please.
The tears are, again, these are not tears that we interpret in this world. If it connects to the fear, it's not ordinary fear or sadness. It's great joy and it's vision. Everything here seems to me that it matches vision, seeing everything that happens between us. The tears, we spoke of it once. They're happiness of the revelation. They're an additional yearning, an additional aviyut, and at the same time, great joy about this mutual effort. And when it comes down to emotion, it becomes easy because it's shared among everyone.
As far as I'm concerned, the tears are what washes the lack of clarity. They actually bring clarity. The understanding, the necessity for you guys, the friends, besides the sensation, Amit, you spoke about earlier on, it feels like the sensation I had 6 years ago when I came here for the first time. It's just amazing to feel like that. I talked about it, the friends. This day came with all the books. I was sitting like a kid, year one, that sits there with the fear, with anticipation, with a demand to discover something new. Into something that I'm heading towards, unknown, heading towards something new, strong and greater than me.
I also feel that way, exactly that way. What we call the gate of tears is a state that it comes back to you as the first time that you're so certain, you have no question about it. It's that. It may truly be there for a split second. And thank you for the Creator who let us feel this, organize these tens, and let us feel it through the friends. It's like a small opening that you can come closer to that true feeling of the force of connection, of love.
Rav, how do we establish within us, scrutinize within us, a state called divinity in exile? Either I'm totally disconnected, right, from it all, so I'm just like all seems as a beast, or I want to be as Israel in exile, right? So how do I depict to myself, imagine to myself that state of I am in exile, divinity in exile? Please, go ahead. Play imagination.
Today is something else. On the board. We really want to feel this state. It's a very special state that we can identify the Shekhinah, the divinity, and we can identify it in the exile. The connections between us are revealed. They are trembling as if we can touch in the tips of the just as with nerves. We can't yet pass on the impulse of the light because it's not clean yet. We constantly discover more dirt.
Rav, what is divinity? Who is me who is longing to it seemingly, and that it is in exile, or I am in exile, and how am I? How to put it? Well, courting after her, attracted to her, attracting her, drawing her towards me. What's going on here? How can I bring her from exile? Taking myself out of exile, following her. But to imagine, what does it mean, divinity in exile? What does it mean that I'm in exile? And how do we get closer? How do I include it in her, say, emotionally speaking? Not just mechanically. Please.
It's in the exile already. It's the Shekhinah, the divinity is that place where the dweller is revealed, meaning it's a connection between us, the connection in this place, and it's in exile, in the dust, in everywhere. It's and anyhow, I should always ask myself if that's what I want, meaning there's always the question, this is what I want. Do I want to go into there? And I know I do, because I know what beauty, what charm, what a wonderful thing it is, and how important it is, and how much the entire reality is waiting for it, and the whole world, me and family and friends and whatever. And I should constantly help myself get up, because I'm drawn like a fly to, well, pardon my French, to a pile of shit. Instead of having this nice place, my nature is drawing me to a different place because I know what beauty and charm there is there.
I think we start feeling it a bit in the tens. In the ten, that it is the same place, the extent to which each friend really, really longs to come to a connection, a true connection. When you have a longing by each and every one, but everyone is in kind of an aquarium, as we are like a bunch of impotent who cannot do a little step towards connection, although we really want it, but we incapable, and there's a great sorrow about it. Why can't we come to that connection? Moreover, we even dependent upon the sorrow of the upper one that can't dwell in that vessel, that broken vessel. It's very emotional, this thing, although in words, it's the words destroy it. I don't know how, but it's very much felt in the ten.
From your words, it's what came to my mind is a picture of friends walking in the field, and basically everyone is in the same place, but they can't see it, as if they're in a soap bubble. Each one has his own soap bubble, and they're trying to, you know, and the you know that soap bubbles, the moment they can connect, but there's this explosion that connects them to a larger bubble, and this small explosion of the contact that connects them to one, maybe that's this place of the Shekhinah, divinity, that we feel in exile. The moment we come out of this bubble to a one large bubble, a place where we can together blow up this bubble as well, I think we'll be able to come out of the exile.
I hear you, and I go through states, how much were you for me at times I was disconnected, how much I long to you each time.
Well, it is written that penny to penny accumulate to a large account. What happens the moment it accumulates? I have this account, and the penny accumulates. What do I feel there? Maybe a blow or something. Something should happen. What do I feel the moment that another penny accumulated to this large account?
It is another discernment entering.
Love, search it inside. Inside. Pick a little inside.
How much little can you do? It's a lot. It's another discernment, another sharp feeling that this is the place, these are the friends. It's taking seriousness and subtle warmth. For me, it is for the emotional thing. It's easy to connect to, because what goes between us, if not that? And it's very naturally. You don't need to do an intellectual effort or through imagination. Rather, simply feel the friends, and accordingly, each get the other from exile, out of exile.
It's a point that gives me the feeling. I'm looking on my left, Rav, on my right, friends, and I'm simply afraid to move my head. The greatness, I'm feeling like a small child by his father, by his Rav. All I yearn for is, I look to the right and I see the pennies in you. You're the ones with the money. You're the ones who can enlarge my cashier, and this, in order of receiving this other additional penny, I'm looking and I see it of each and every one of you. And when I get that penny, I think that before that, if I move it on to the emotion, then there's the questions, maybe doubts, all these states that you don't understand how, but it comes back, and see, you suddenly have to cope with something, and then suddenly.
Predominantly, what concerns me now is how do I feel the 10 as one in my heart. And talking, need to talk. The main thing is the thoughts, how do I hold them in my heart? Continue.
I don't know how much I can speak. Actually, this is the effort. Yeah, these are the pennies. To always hold onto your friends. And it's as if this coin, every coin has two sides. Our penny as well. On the one hand, it's the exertion. But on the other hand, on the other side, it's composed of the new deficiency that is revealed. It's not something that you fill up, something that it's emptied. The fact that it accumulates to a great account, it's a greater and greater vacuum. void, the gap is clear. This makes one very, very happy.
Yes, yeah, so the danger becomes greater because you say make an effort, you're holding the friends within, they're indeed trying and you didn't notice, and kind of a bump into a thought about yourself and how would you be the wiser in this circle, and you've lost it all. And then now I start again, 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 and accordingly each time anew.
A penny is as a spark that was off and now it's lit again, like a wonderful, beautiful flower that was, and now it's opened and blossoms. It's this special point of connection with the Creator. They're very subtle, very internal inside a man's heart. He calls it overcoming for love and fear of the Creator, that from this point he yearns and longs for the Creator within all these storms, all these terrible states, all this lowness, I don't know what, when there are these contact points with the Creator as sufferings of love that appear in man's heart. Inside all these pennies, all these points of connection,
love. How do I become awake, alert, aware of thoughts that seemingly, it doesn't matter, you can rest, later on you'll do this, that. Well, if you don't have a desire for it now, nothing to do about it. How do I separate myself from those thoughts that weakens my spiritual work? And how do I see them not only as separate, rather as going against me, that they are my enemies, that they are the one I should fight? How do I identify them as such? Usually I think that this is I'm feeling like that, I'm thinking like that, I should rest a bit, and I'm going with it without feeling that these are the enemies that permeated me like virus and operating in me and entered my heart and mind and are managing me accordingly. Thus I turn to rest, think, rationalize things, and I'm not identifying that this is the enemy working without me as an inner virus. How do I capture them, those thoughts, such thoughts and desires, yes, and separate myself from it and starting a struggle against them till I get them out. So first of all, how do I identify them as working in me and destroying me? Clear? Go ahead. And it's not that I'm going along with it.
Okay, the feeling is that you identify it in your connection with the friends. If you are in yearning to meet the friends, to see them in a place of, now I want to be with them, I want to feel them, I want to, then I feel that I'm in the place of, I want to give, meaning this place of desire to seemingly bestow unto them. And if I feel the other side, the opposite side, that means that I'm disconnected, I'm not there. And then what the sages tell us is, we should be thrown into that place, take ourselves, or if you're incapable of it, the friends will take you over there and dive in there. That's the place that reminds you, that cares for you, that holds you in this amazing point of connection between us.
This is fantastic, Dan, as long as there's longing, but when the true enemies, haters, arrive, they rub themselves with something sweet that usually accusing the group and throw you into place that is very sweet for you, pleasant for you, and you're listening to them. So you need
Rav, how can I establish myself as only desire without any bestowal? And then I will stand guard to examine each and every desire that comes up in me, that comes to me, that wants to conquer me, for me to work according to that desire. So how do I hold myself in this form before all these desires and thoughts awaken in me?
So, in order to know how to be only desire, first of all, you need great assistance from above that we have received, and friends. Now, in order to establish it, it's a routine. There's nothing new about it. It's a morning lesson, dissemination, necessity, sustenance. These are frameworks that guards you. And then, along the path, you see how you enter and exit. The feeling of that heart of holding on to the tent. Now, for example, in that turn, there could be few entries and exits, but constantly in ever increasing intensity. And the moment you are getting into the tent and that feel that doing, then we all have the ability to do that scrutiny, and each and everyone for himself too.
I see it net in dissemination. I can see it exactly happening in dissemination. In the last summer, previous summer, I was in maybe two or three circles in Eilat, but what I went through, no washing machine can do that, can wash you in such a way. You are included in such deficiencies that everything you want is to receive everything and to pass everything through you. And then you understand that if you don't have the right preparation with your friends, the sensation of the friends that instill the right atmosphere above all the deficiencies, that's where you lose it. You lose the ability to be a gateway, a conduit.
I much identify with it, and today I feel how this thing is built in the ten, that we are rewarded of receiving many, many new states. New such desires that suddenly arise, and if I manage to scrutinize them through the ten, this is my bodyguard that to the extent that I'm connected to the ten enable me to do some calculation with regard to my desire.
We'll move on to Rabash.